It's that time again on a Friday morning when AM Live presents another update from the coalface with Martin Creamer, publishing editor of Engineering News and Mining Weekly. Good morning to you, Martin.
Morning, Kalani.
Well, the gun that Chile is holding at the head of Anglo American is putting South African investors at risk. Tell us about this.
You know, the sort of money involved is what we paid for our World Cup hosting. I mean, what they want free, gratis, and for nothing from the shareholders of Anglo American, and there are a lot of South African shareholders as well because we have the roots of this company going back to 1917. The amount that they want us to give them free, gratis, and for nothing is as much as we paid to host the World Cup here. I mean, it's more than 30 billion. You know, you're going into 32 billion rand arenas. So it's not a small amount. But the point that Chile is missing in trying to force Anglo to sell half of their assets to a state-owned company, Codelco, the point that they're missing is that it's the small people that are now the investors in these big companies. This is what has happened in the world. You know, you've got pension fund capitalism. And just recently, we had a situation where Platinum, a platinum company in Rustenburg, was borrowing money from a Dutch pension fund. And during the media conference, the Dutch ambassador stood up and he said, "Hang on, guys. You know, that's also my pension fund. My money goes into that. And you guys better do a good job." Well, I think that is what Chile is forgetting. Mm. They are looking very narrowly at copper assets, which they feel they have a right to get their hand on. They want 49%, but they want to pay a pittance for this. Mm. And the people who will suffer will be the ordinary working people, working men and women, whose pension funds, provident funds, and contributions to life insurance goes into these investments. And this is how the modern world works. This is the economic underpin of the modern world. By far, the biggest amount of funds come from the ordinary people. And now there's a major legal battle about to happen between Anglo American and Codelco. Codelco stopping them from selling any more of their shares because they quickly defended themselves by selling nearly a quarter of their shares at what was a price that showed up the value of the company and showed up how much the Codelco state-owned Chilean enterprise was wanting to take off the table, free, gratis, and for nothing.
I wonder, though, the impact that this will have on the Chilean investments and as far as mining is concerned, because this week, Carol Smith, head of energy and natural resources at KPMG, told us that in the last 10 years, South African mining has declined as a contribution to GDP, and the sector has seen 0% growth in the past 8 years versus 14% for a country like Chile.
Yeah, and just shows you, Chile has been held up as a paragon of investment virtue. And now they are showing a silly side that I think will impact on their reputation as an investment destination. And we are more transparent in South Africa. We have this open debate on nationalization, and it comes back to haunt us because we also have less investment. Obviously, we've also got other infrastructural constraints that have led to the fact that we haven't grown. But at least we debate in public. They come through with nationalization by stealth.
In other news, the Northern Cape has been chosen as the place to set a new world land speed record and inspire more people to become engineers. Tell us about this.
You know, Hakskin Pan in Northern Cape has been chosen out of 34 potential sites around the world as the place where people will try to set a new world land speed record. And that is being done by the Bloodhound team from the UK. They already hold the world record at 1,227 kilometers an hour, which they set in 1997. Now they want to go from naught to 1,600 kilometers an hour in 42 seconds. That means every time the guy blinks, he will have gone the length and a half of a rugby field. He will be powered by the equivalent of 180 Formula One racing cars, and he will go faster than a bullet fired from a magnet gun. That is the plan for 2030 in the Northern Cape, working very, very closely with the Northern Cape politicians and the Premier, in particular Hazel Jenkins. But you say to them, why do you want to do this? I mean, you already held the record. Why now do you want to go 1,600 kilometers and set a new record? And they said the reason is we want to draw attention to engineering feat. We want to get young people involved here, and that's why there's a whole educational segment to it. They've got 2 million students that will be involved on the internet watching their progress because they say the world over, it's not just the UK and South Africa, The world over, people are short of engineers.
Yeah.
They're short of mathematicians. Mm. They're short of scientists. And they want to use this land speed record attempt to make sure that people enter these fields of engineering, mathematics, and science. They want to pique their interest and inspire them.
Talking about science, there will be a lot of science talk happening at the COP17 climate conference in Durban. Now, as the world leaders prepare then to come to Durban, there are a few signs now of global consensus on climate change. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, well, in actual fact, there are very few signs. That's what I was, there are very few signs of global consensus. You know, we're coming into a situation where 14 years ago they had the Kyoto, and it was it's got to be renewed next year. Yeah. And a lot of people who even signed it 14 years ago are saying we're not going to sign it again. So, you know, there is a danger that the whole move towards combating climate change is not going to have a world consensus. This is the big worry at the moment, that you know, the world is not coming in behind. And there looks already like a lot of voices that are dissident and saying, well, the emerging countries have fewer obligations, but they are beginning to emit more. And in the background, of course, is this whole Eurozone debt crisis and the Durban, the COP17 in Durban, you know, there's a danger it'll be drowned out by the Eurozone debt crisis. This is one of the things. In the meantime, of course, in South Africa, we're looking at this quite seriously, and you'll see that we've just had this big Green Accord.
Yeah.
And that is looking at all our stakeholders and trying to say, well, look, out of this green initiative, you know, let's go for it as a world body. It's no good just countries engaging in bilaterals. That's a bizarre type of thing, because there's a lot of economic potential in this. And they're talking about, you know, 300,000 jobs. We have, of course, until October 13 to finalize our carbon budgets, etc. And there is a concern around this carbon tax. But South Africa is seeing the positives in this, I think, more than many other countries. And, you know, hopefully, because we're the host as well, we might be able to say that Durban was a success, where you've had, you know, failure in Copenhagen with COP 15 and then COP 16 Cancun.
Yeah.
You know, there hasn't been such a good response. Perhaps it'll happen at COP 17 in Durban, but the signs...
It would be nice if anything happened.
I mean,
but the signs, as you say, are that not much is going to happen.
That's what we see.
Oh, and by the way, we're actually packing our bags as well. We will be relocating. We'll be going to Durban at the end of next week, covering that for our listeners here on SAFM. Martin, I really have got to thank you very much for coming through this morning.
It's a great pleasure, Kalani.
Thank you very much. Martin Creamer is publishing editor of Engineering News and Mining Weekly. He'll be back again at the coalface at the same time next Friday.